Now, this is the second of my talks that is based around this book, Enjoy Your Prayer Life by Michael Reeves. I'm going to read a couple of passages from it later. It gives you a flavour of what it's like. Would commend it to you. These sermons are not following closely what's in there. They're picking out certain things that are in there. Similarly, the passage that Malcolm just read for us, almost everything that I'm saying this morning could be taken out of that passage, one or two things that aren't. I won't actually refer to that passage, but it's one where Jesus' prayer just illustrates the things that we are going to be saying together. So last time we looked at aspects of prayer which sound like bad news, and these were the two things that we looked at. Naturally, we are all rubbish at prayer. And secondly, you aren't going to get any better at praying simply by trying harder. I won't go through that again, but if you didn't hear that and you want to know what I was talking about, then I guess it's recorded. I haven't checked. But we also saw that the prayer is the chief way, as Calvin put it, the chief way that we exercise faith. And that our relationship with God, if it's right, then prayer, our prayer life will reflect this. Now this week we're going to look at the privileges that God has given us, privileges that enable us to pray, to overcome our natural rubbishness, if you like, and that encourage us to pray, but not simply by trying harder. So let's pray, obviously. Our Father, we come to you as those who naturally have no inclination to pray. In our natural state before Jesus came to us, before you sought us and found us, Father, we had no inclination to love you, to talk to you, to be with you. In fact, the thought of a pure and holy God would frighten off anyone who understood the depths of their sin. But Father, help us. Help us to see the privilege that we have in Christ and the strength that you give us through your Spirit and the fellowship that we can have with you in prayer. Oh, Father, speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the outline. I have 2 points, each divided into three. But don't worry, this is not a long sermon. So we're looking at praying like Jesus, thinking about the way that he depended on God, the way he spoke to his Father, and the fact that he prayed at all times and in all circumstances. And then we're going to look at a very key aspect of prayer, and that is that the whole Trinity is what makes prayer possible. We come in Jesus' name, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and it is fellowshipping, it's having fellowship with God. So let's start here, depending on God. We live in a world which is in love with the idea of independence. We love to have the right to choose the way that we live, my right to choose my route for my life. Now, I work in some nursing homes, and I see the darkness that comes to people who can no longer live independently. Not all, but there are a group there who have lost their independence, and it hurts. Because we live in a world where we love our independence. We treasure it. But the problem is we treasure it too much and in the wrong ways. And this fuels, for example, the decline in marriage. It undermines true marriage and lasting marriage. Marriage, you see, is total interdependency, one flesh. And it's a shock to the system, to some people, when they suddenly find that the expectation of marriage is that you are no longer independent. You simply are not. In a world that treasures independence too much. You see, the true man, the real man, the only perfect man who ever lived, was surely, of all people, capable of independence. I mean, if you've got gifts and abilities like that, and a phenomenal intellect, the ability to think not just outside the box, but upside down compared to what the world was thinking. If anyone was capable of independence, then it's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Surely he could be as independent as he liked. And yet we read these words. Now I'd like you to turn to this. So whoever finds it first in a church Bible, give me a page number. It's John 5, and starting at verse 18. John 5, verse 18, page number someone? All those scrolling down on their phones, you're not helping. 1068, thank you very much. And I'm glad you're scrolling down on your phones too. Or tablets. John 5 and verse 18. Now this is the most capable man that ever lived. The man who could be independent. Listen to this. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but because he was even calling God his own father and making himself equal with God. And indeed, Jesus was doing exactly that. They weren't wrong in what they were saying. And Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. God himself on earth, the Son of God, is not independent, but dependent on his Father. It's an astounding statement, isn't it? Jesus was willingly dependent on his Father. Jesus has just told them that he's equal with God, yet the one who was fully God also told them that he was totally and willingly dependent on God. Let that sink in. Jesus is dependent on God, his Father. God himself dependent on God, the Father. And how arrogant we are about our ability to work without God. And do you know how we show, first and foremost, our lack of dependence on God? We show it when we don't pray. I can do this. I've done this before. It's straightforward. I'll just get on and do it. I haven't got the time, really, to sit down and pray. If Jesus is dependent on God, how much more? How much more should we be willingly dependent on God? But don't beat yourself up about this. That's not the point. And it won't help. Just look at Jesus. Just ask yourself this question. How much do you want to be like Jesus? And I'm sure the answer is very much. Don't we all very much want to be like Jesus? And have you ever thought about why you want this? Is that natural to want that? It isn't. It's not natural. But you want to be like Jesus because God's Word and the Holy Spirit have shown you the beauty and the wonder of Jesus, haven't they? And this is good. We want to be like Jesus. So we can act like him. Let's start doing it by acknowledging our total dependence on God. And nothing shows how much we depend on God more than our prayers. You know, a real man is not simply someone who can take charge in a crisis or in anything else. A real man is someone who knows that God is in charge. The real man, the perfect man, knew he was dependent on his Father. And in fact, a real man rejoices that he's not in charge and can never be in charge. And if you want a man to help you in a time of crisis, and you need someone to take charge, then make sure you take that man to be a man of prayer. Because that's the person who is dependent on God and knows that they aren't in charge. They can take charge. Secondly, talking to our Father. Jesus' followers were very impressed with his prayers. And not surprisingly, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he starts with this. When you pray, you say, Father. Now, the idea of God as Father is in the Old Testament. I actually got that wrong in a sermon some time ago. But no one in the Old Testament prayed to God as their father, personally. He was the father of Israel, that kind of idea, a providing father. But to call him personally father would seem much too, and literally in the use of this word, much too familiar. Well, it's much too much like family. And think, no, no, this is not right, surely, for God. But you see, the idea of father goes beyond just dependency. Dependency itself can mean all sorts of things. I may have a dependency on a certain drug to keep me alive. That's a dependency. Or on a crutch in order to walk, or a wheelchair, or a government support, whatever it is. I can have all sorts of dependencies, but they're not father-like, are they? Father is personal. It's family. As we saw last time, Jesus loved talking to his dad. Perfect love and companionship and fellowship. And as we have just seen, willing dependency on his father. And Jesus invites us to pray like him. When you pray, say, Father. The same close, loving relationship as he has with his father is now something that we share in. We'll think a little more about why that is in a few minutes, but just for now, let this sink in. I have the same relationship with God as Jesus. I mean, does that sound astounding? It is. But this is the reality. Now, I will explain why in a moment as to why that is true, but this is true. I have the same access to God as Jesus. I am accepted when I talk to God, like Jesus. As I say, we'll see why later, but it's all true. Of course Jesus can talk to God at any time. Of course Jesus wants to talk to his perfect dad. But this is all available to me too. I have the same privileged position before God as Jesus. That should lift our hearts as we walk into church for prayer meeting. And if you remember one thing today, remember to meditate on this truth. You have the same access to God as Jesus. God loves you as he loves his dear son. God wants you to chat with him. You can pray to the Father just like Jesus. And now I'm going to just quote something from this book, the right page. In fact, it's not from this book, it's from this book quoting another book. But hey, that'll do. Jim Packer in this case. Jim Packer once wrote, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means he does not understand Christianity very well at all." Those are thoughtful words, aren't they? How much do we appreciate that we come to a father and we have that access that Jesus has? We're going to sing later, "Oh, the peace we often forfeit, the needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything, everything to God in prayer." And we also pray at all times. And for this section, I'm actually not going to say much more than what Michael has written in his book, in two different sections of the book. So let me just read these two bits to you. Bear with me, they're very short. There is something extraordinary about Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But our Lord and God prays. In fact, he's always praying. When he's full of joy, he prays. When he's agonizing, he prays. When making major decisions like appointing apostles, he'll spend a good bit of time in prayer. His prayer inspired his disciples to ask, "Teach us to pray." It's actually extraordinary that Jesus prays. But he just loved to do it. and he wanted to be submissive to the will of his Father. You know, we have different sorts of conversations with our friends and families, from texts and emails to rambling chats late into the evening. Similarly, we don't need to try and fit God into each day. That is to see our prayer life as something different from the rest of life. In fact, danger arises precisely when you do think that your prayer life is something separate. No. For the Son, Jesus, everything flows from his communication with his Father. And so it should be for us. Prayer should be permeating every part of our life, on the bus, on the train, when we're looking out at the garden, when we're doing the washing up, when we're chatting with a friend, when we're grieving, when we're rejoicing, when we're sharing fellowship together, talking to God, praying, recognizing his total sovereignty over every part of our lives, every little thing. If I was wanting to encourage you to pray more in one thing, it was just in the small things in life. Keep praying, keep talking to God. He's a great friend. He's made it possible for us to talk with him at all times. So let's use that. Okay, so let's look at the Trinity in prayer. Now, I was going to add a subtitle to that. I forgot to do it. But it was going to have alongside it, "You never pray alone." You never pray alone. But we'll see why in a moment. So first, in Jesus, or in Jesus' name. I wonder whether you end your prayers with "in Jesus' name." I expect many of you do. I do. And you're perfectly right to do so. But I wonder how many of us really understand why. Or perhaps it's useful to just be reminded of why we do this from time to time. Well, you're going to get a reminder this morning. What gives you the right to speak in Jesus' name? And not just to speak in Jesus' name, but to speak to God in Jesus' name. Now, if I'm a policeman, which I'm not, I can speak in the name of the law. A policeman has the entire weight of the law behind him or her when they speak. He speaks with authority which is far beyond his authority as an individual. A policeman, provided they're acting in accordance with the law, when he says, he knows that when he speaks, what he says is backed up by his superiors, or it will be by superiors, by the law courts, and indeed, the whole government is behind what he is saying. And we are ruled in this country by the rule of law. And he speaks in that authority. And he can speak with supreme confidence in the assurance that he's not acting alone. That's what it actually means to speak in the name of something. The authority to speak that comes from something that is beyond you, above you, greater than you. And so this brings us back to the question, what right do you or I have to speak to God in the name of Jesus? If you are a Christian, a child of God who calls God Father, then you are in Christ Jesus. I'm so pleased we sung "In Christ Alone" this morning. I didn't actually think of it. It would have made a perfectly good one to end with. But you are in Christ. You are in Jesus. And when you approach God in prayer, you are approaching in the Son, in Jesus. You do not have authority to approach God and his throne on your own. Indeed, if you were to come into God's close presence without Jesus, you and your filthiness would be destroyed. I remember Don preaching on this and teaching us about this. The filth that we bring in without Jesus into God's presence, God's pure and perfect holy presence, would destroy us. But you are in Jesus. And because you are in Jesus, you have the same access rights as Jesus into God's presence. And you have the right to speak in Jesus or in Jesus' name. This does not mean you can tell God what to do. Even Jesus didn't tell God what to do. He prayed and acted in submission to God. But we have the right to speak to God in Jesus' name. It is a great privilege. It's also a great responsibility. We don't want to abuse that privilege. But do you know the worst way of abusing a privilege? Is not to make use of it. It is, isn't it? Someone has made something possible for you, something extraordinary possible. Oh, how sad if we don't make use of the privilege that Jesus has provided to us. It is perfectly right to bring our prayers to God in Jesus' name or in the name of Jesus, but we might just tremble a little as we use those words. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we are in Jesus, we come in Jesus as we come to God in prayer. But you know, it's still very difficult, isn't it, to know quite what to say. Sometimes we feel so strongly and so keenly about something that our words, our thoughts are just won't marshal themselves into the right words. Will I say the wrong thing? What if I find it hard to just make sentences anyway? What if my mind keeps wandering off? I mean, that seems so rude. I mean, that would be like someone talking to you whilst looking at their phone at the same time, and we'd never do that. Oh, yeah, we would. Okay. But it's rude. But, you know, isn't it difficult when we come and we find that our minds are drifting off when we're trying to pray and we think, oh, this is so awful. See, speaking to God is a weighty matter. I want to speak to him because he's my father, but I'm worried to speak to him because I don't know what to say and I know that I have so many difficulties when I pray. I mean, is it okay just to tell God what I want? What if I ask for something that's bad for me if only I realized? Maybe there's a friend who's old and suffering greatly and they long to be with God. Is it okay to ask God to take them quickly? I don't know. These things confuse me. Sometimes I just don't know what is the right thing to pray. Should that stop us praying? You know, I'm not going to try and answer questions like that because I don't know. But God already knows that you and me are naturally rubbish at prayer. And he's got a way of enabling you, or the right thing, to be said every time. Even when you are saying the wrong thing. Let's turn to Romans 8 and verse 26. These are fabulous words. And again, page number if I could from someone. 1135. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. What an encouragement to pray. Even when I get it all wrong, the Holy Spirit will get it right for me. And note this, if you haven't got the words to say, to express your feelings, well, just bring your longings and your feelings and your heartfelt groans to God. And if you do that, you're in very good company, aren't you? If you can't find the words, bring groans which words cannot express. It's interesting to note that that's how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. If it doesn't contain sentences, you might not think of it as prayer. But it is. If we lay these things before God. And finally, in fellowship with God. We are in Jesus when we come to pray. We have the Spirit pleading with God on our behalf. And guess what? God loves it when we pray. Of course he does. And do you know why he loves it when we pray? Because he's so pleased to have us. No. It's nothing to do with us. Let's remember that. It's not to do with us that pleases God. It's because we come to him in his son's name. What could be better? We approach God in his son. Of course he loves it. And when we can't even find the right things to say, his, the perfect Holy Spirit of God, prays on our behalf. Of course God loves it when we pray. Of course he accepts us. Because we come in the Son and with the Spirit groaning and praying for us. When we pray, we are accepted into God's presence and we are heard, and we are never alone when we pray. In some way that boggles the mind, we are entering into the communication between the three persons of the Godhead. We approach Father in the Son and have the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf. You and I can do this, the amazing thing called prayer, anytime and in any place, any circumstances, even when we can't find the words to say. Revelation 5, our prayers are described, the prayers of the saints are described as incense offered up to God, a sweet smell in heaven. When you pray, you are part of a wonderful perfume rising up to God. Prayer is never alone. Effective prayer is made possible by the working together of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's about fellowshipping with God. You know, when brothers and sisters come together in prayer, in ones or twos or larger groups, it's a reflection, isn't it, of the fellowshipping character of God. Because prayer is made possible by the fellowship within the Godhead, the working together within the Godhead. Coming together in united prayer on earth is a lovely reflection of the working together of the Godhead. And there's another reference to sweet smells, isn't there, when brothers and sisters unite together. Remember Psalm 133? When brothers dwell together in unity, it's like that beautiful perfumed oil that was poured over Aaron's head and ran down his beard and onto his clothes and filled the place with a beautiful fragrance. That's the unity of brothers together. True unity is not helped by a brother who likes to impress with his elegantly structured words or a sister who parades her piety. Fellowship is most alive when we come as ourselves, not our putrid worldly selves, but as saved sinners, objects of grace, members of the eternal family, united in Christ. This is how we must come to our prayer meetings, wanting to fellowship with each other and with God, as we praise, thank, worship, plead, and seek together. We come to enjoy fellowship together and with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."